Hello, everyone, and welcome to Full Time, where we take you around the world of soccer, locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. Full Time is presented by The Game Sports Show and powered by The Game Entertainment and Media. You are listening to Season 3, Episode 1 of Full Time. I am your host, Daniel Scarpino, and with me is our co-host, Gaetano Gallo. Before we begin today's show, Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. In Sault Ste. Marie, you can download and access the Pizza Portal app so you can enjoy a delicious, hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. We remind our listeners that recordings of Full Time occur weekly or bi-weekly, and uploads to all of our platforms for public viewing and listening occur weekly or bi-weekly as well. Folks, a very happy new year to all of you. We are so excited to be here with you on this podcast as we officially launch our first show of 2023. We hope that you and yours had an outstanding holiday. We're back at it after our holiday break, and we are kickstarting season three on Full Time. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, Scarps. How are you?
Likewise, brother. Thank you for that. And in today's show, we will be having a good bit of fun. It is an action-packed show. We will be addressing the retirement of Gareth Bale, Roberto Martinez's appointment to the Portugal national team, the most recent transfer news in the January transfer window, Cristiano Ronaldo's big money move, Europe's big five, the Carabao Cup, and local soccer. As always, if anyone would like to listen to our previous content, please check us out at Full Time on the Game Sports Show. And without further ado, Gaetano, and to everyone who has taken the time to tune in here today, let's kick off. We begin today's show by talking about the recent news of Gareth Bale's retirement. Bale recently competed and captained Wales at the World Cup in Qatar. The 33-year-old has now announced that he will step away from the world of football at both international and club level. Bale played in the MLS for the Los Angeles FC this past season, where he won the MLS title. His contract with LAFC was set to expire this upcoming summer. Bale is one of Britain's best players in recent memory, at least in my opinion. He won countless trophies at club level, and he has some pretty decent personal accolades to his name as well. I didn't think his career was going to continue for an incredibly long time post-World Cup, but I also didn't think it was going to, let's say, be this sudden. Give us your thoughts on this announcement, sir.
Yeah, kind of a little out of nowhere. I thought he'd at least see out the end of his LAFC contract, but to retire after playing in a World Cup, like, there's not really many better ways to go out than that. Kind of it's all downhill from that. But I think, yeah, like you said, one of the best British players of all time, easily. Like, a ridiculous trophy cabinet: 5 Champions League, 3 La Ligas, 4 Club World Cups, and then countless Spanish Cups, Copa del Reyes, and UEFA Super Cups. So yeah, couldn't ask for much more in a career like that.
Yeah, he's certainly won pretty much all there is to win in the game, especially at club level. And I do remember Bale back in the Tottenham days, the old Tottenham days, it was scary, wasn't it? And as much as I don't like the club, I couldn't quite help but like him as a player, Gaetano, or at least at the very least respect his game. And then when he moved to Real Madrid, maybe it wasn't incredibly glamorous, but he still had several good years. And as you just mentioned, he won so many things. Then his return back to Tottenham went somewhat well, I guess, and he was still scoring goals, not at will, but he was still doing decent in Mourinho's side. And then, of course, his move to the MLS was quite good in terms of immediate success upon arrival to LAFC. And this doesn't even touch the surface about his international career, where he also had a good amount of success with Wales. But my question here is, I think I know where we might go with this, but did Gareth Bale's career summate to everything we thought it would, or was there something that maybe he left on the table?
I mean, I think the stuff left on the table was kind of out of his control. I think he played for relatively mediocre Tottenham sides. They didn't really do much. Probably should have won, an FA Cup, a Carabao Cup. Probably wouldn't have challenged for a Premier League in that time. But I think, what he did in Madrid, what he did for Wales, even what he did for LAFC, his last goal for them being 120th minute tying goal in MLS Cup final. Like,
yep.
He was the big man for the big moments. And I think, yeah, like, the only thing you could really argue is that his time in Tottenham wasn't, in terms of team success, the best, but that's not entirely on him. He was easily the best player in that team for a very long time.
Well, and I can't remember exactly which year it was, Gaetano, and I think it may have been Harry Redknapp that was managing them at the time, but they did make the Champions League, and I think that you were trying to allude to it a little bit earlier. Just how scary was he at a young age at Tottenham? Because I remember watching him not just against Arsenal, but just in general. Like, he was crazy good, wasn't he?
He terrorized Man City. I don't know, like, what it was. Like, he's one of those players that it didn't matter, like, what type of form he was in, like, going into the game. Anytime he played City score, he was terrifying. But the other 36 games of the season, loved watching him play. So electrifying, I think, would be the best term for it.
Electrifying is such a good word for it. And I think, you know, there's kind of a mixed bag of feelings on Gareth Bale. I think the majority of people, it seems to be that they're very happy with his career and that they really loved watching him play and that they pretty much believe that he gave everything that he could. And then there's also some people who do believe that he left a lot on the table. I don't think he really left a lot on the table. I just feel like, and I don't know if you think that this is a good way to describe it, Gaetano, I'm just not sure that for the last little bit anyways, that he's been in love with the sport. Do you think that's kind of a fair way to describe it?
Yeah, like from the outside looking in, obviously not knowing him personally at all, like just from kind of, especially like near the end of the Madrid time. I don't know if you remember the Wales Gulf Madrid in that order flag.
Yes, that he was, the banner, yeah.
Yeah, like, and I didn't think that that was entirely, because, you know, he still loved playing for Wales. It was always something he talked very highly about. So I don't think he was entirely out of love with the game, but I think just that club level, that interest just kind of wasn't there anymore. And you kind of have to be playing at club level to be playing internationally, so...
Yeah, and I think that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But again, it's sort of humorous in a way, and I get that maybe it could be misinterpreted. But at the end of the day, regardless of our thoughts, feelings, or opinions, I believe that Gareth Bale certainly is wished well in his retirement from the beautiful game on behalf of everybody who watches and loves the beautiful game. So that's Gareth Bale retiring from football at age 33. Roberto Martinez also made headlines this week, but for different reasons. The 49-year-old, who most recently managed Belgium at the World Cup in Qatar, has now been appointed as the Portuguese national team manager. Gee, I'm a little surprised on this one, but at the same time, not overly surprised. There were rumblings in the media as to who would get this job, and Roberto Martinez's name did pop up quite a few times. 9 years of coaching at club level, 6 years of coaching at international level with Belgium, he now gets another big job with Portugal. Your thoughts on this bit of news?
Yeah, I think Portugal was always going to go for a pair of steady hands. They weren't going to hand it off to someone who's like younger and experienced. So I think in that regard, they got a great manager in Roberto Martinez. He kind of wasted Belgium's golden generation, only making like the farthest they went was the semifinals of the World Cup. And finished third, but like they really didn't do a lot else with that. So I'm a little worried that Portugal might suffer the same kind of fate.
And now for folks who are listening who might be trying to wrap their heads around this, Martinez did coach Belgium for 6 years, yes, and Martinez himself is actually Spanish. And now he gets the Portugal job. So to keep it simple here, at international level or any level of football for that matter, you don't have to be the same nationality as the country that you coach for or the country that you coach in. Oftentimes at international level, it is the case that the coach is the same nationality as the team that he or she is coaching, but there is no rule that states that this has to be the case. And Martinez, as you mentioned, Gaetano, did have what we would call a golden generation squad in Belgium. And they didn't manage to win much of anything under Martinez, although they did finish third at the 2018 World Cup. We can probably agree that with Portugal's squad, it's a good move for Martinez coaching-wise. But I just want your overall opinion. You were kind of alluding to it a little bit earlier there. Is this really a good move for Portugal? Or do you think maybe that there was somebody else who was available?
I think the issue right now is there's not a lot of managers available. Basically, most of the world-class managers, bar I think probably Thomas Tuchel and Mauricio Pochettino, are employed and pretty comfortably. Like, there's not it would take a lot to get one of those guys out of their club job for it. So I think of the available candidates, he was probably the best choice. But I see this is a little more short-term than long-term.
And Martinez will begin the job with immediate effect, taking charge of European qualification matches in 10 weeks' time. So not that far away, we will see Martinez in the dugout for the Portugal national team. Now, Gaetano, let's dive into the January transfer window. The market is most certainly open, and some decent moves have been made so far. Do you think this will be a window where clubs are going to spend a lot of money, or is this going to be a more subtle transfer window?
I mean, if some of the rumors are true, Scarps, we could be looking at some near world record fees this January, which is just, it's just insane.
Yeah, and rumors in the world of football are always there and they're always prevalent. But at the end of the day, we have to see if they actually come to fruition. But certainly this could be a transfer window to remember. And what we are going to do here is we are going to take you all, our listeners, through some of the transfer news that has occurred this month so far, with still 20 days left to go in the window. The following transfer market information that I am about to relay has been obtained from The Guardian. So if anyone is looking for up-to-date transfer market news, definitely check them out. The first bit of transfer news that we're going to talk about is Cesar Montes, who goes from Monterrey to Espanyol. The center back is very much excited for an adventure in Spain after featuring for Mexico at the World Cup. He joins Espanyol for £5.8 million. Geronimo Rui goes from Villarreal to Ajax. The keeper was a part of the World Cup winning squad with Argentina and will be Ajax's new number one after signing a 3.5-year deal. He joins Ajax on £7 million. Mislav Orsic goes from Dinamo Zagreb to Southampton. The winger scored the winner in the World Cup third place match and hopes to fire the Saints back to Premier League safety. He joins Southampton for £8 million. David Datro Fofana goes from Molde to Chelsea. The Ivorian rising star will bolster Graham Potter's attacking options as he joins the side for £10.6 million. Carlos Alcaraz is the Argentinian midfielder who goes from Racing Club to Southampton as well. The exciting young midfielder arrives and welcome to boost Nathan Jones's struggling side, who again are trying to find themselves in out of the relegation zone, rather, and he joins Southampton for £12.3 million. Andre Santos goes from Vasco da Gama to Chelsea, and again, Chelsea doing some good business this market. The Blues continue investing in young talent after agreeing for a fee of the teenage midfielder that could rise to $18 million with add-ons. Gerson goes from Marseille to Flamengo. The Brazil international returns to Flamengo, where he played between 2019 and 2021 after a season and a half in France. He joins for £17.6 million. Max Vollberg goes from Red Bull Salzburg to Leeds United. The towering center back pledges to give everything for the badge after penning a deal which runs until the summer of 2027. He joins for £17.7 million. Benoit Badiachil goes from Monaco to Chelsea. The highly rated center back signed a seven-year contract rather after a £37 million fee has been agreed by the clubs. And finally, Cody Gakpo, the PSV Eindhoven winger rather, goes to Liverpool. The highly rated attacker completes his move after impressing at the World Cup for a big fee of £35 million. So, Gaetano, these are just some of the moves that were made this transfer window so far. Which of these do you really like? And are there any that haven't been mentioned that have caught your eye?
Yeah, I liked a lot of those moves. A lot of World Cup hype moves, if you want to call them that. Guys who played well at the World Cup and kind of get that. I don't want to say there weren't too many big money moves, but slightly more than they probably would have transferred for in the summer. I think there was some good business there. One thing I really like is Chelsea kind of cutting out the middleman in their deals recently, and like most clubs do this, you don't sign like a very, very young player. Like, you kind of let them go to a medium-sized club and then they end up signing them for, you know, 70 plus million. So just, you know, spending that 35, bringing them in, and then being able to loan them out or use them in the first team, just kind of cutting out that middle step and that kind of larger fee. I do like that on the business end of it. Whether the players will work out, so I really don't know. I'm not too familiar with the players they have signed. But the one player I think it was just recently announced yesterday was the João Félix loan move to Chelsea for the rest of this season is a big one.
I agree with that, and that certainly probably is the biggest move apart from maybe Cody Gakpo to Liverpool. And we're talking about Chelsea a lot, and Chelsea have been pretty much capturing all the headlines, it seems, in the world of football. But apart from Chelsea, has there been any clubs so far that have stood out to you this window, Gaetano?
Chelsea, obviously the big one. There's not really much. The big clubs haven't done much yet. I'm looking forward to seeing what Barcelona try and do. They have a very old squad, and I know Xavi wants to move some of those pieces out. It'll be interesting to see how creative they get when they do that. But yeah, so far, no real big standouts beside Chelsea.
Yeah, I agree with that for the most part. The only one that I would say is that you can evidently see that Southampton really, really want to stay in the Premier League. And they're pretty much, by the looks of it, going to do whatever it takes to stay in the Premier League and get out of that relegation zone, which we'll touch on in a little while. But we will definitely see how things shake up over the next 20 days, because as we all know, business in the transfer market can quite literally be done at the very last second. So I have a funny feeling, Gaetano, that there is more in store for us this window. So we'll definitely keep all of our listeners up to speed with that. And G, we now move on to the signing that has in large part really surprised the world of football. And that was Cristiano Ronaldo signing on with Saudi Arabian club Al Nassr for a record fee. Ronaldo will be guaranteed $75 million per year and will likely reach a sum of $200 million through various commercial agreements with the club. Gaetano, we promise to keep our listeners informed on this one, and that's exactly what we are doing here. What are your thoughts on this move for Ronaldo?
Well, back in season two, we kind of talked about how there were three key things for his move, which was his playing time, his wages, and the level that he wanted to play. He still wanted to play in Europe. And we agreed that one of those three things had to give in order for him to like have a move. And I'm a little disappointed that it was his desire to play in Europe. I would have loved to see him, you know, still playing in the Champions League with a maybe smaller role in the team. But it's a massive, massive move financially for him. I can't argue with that. Not many places I wouldn't play soccer for that fee. So can't really argue with him on that end.
Yeah, from a financial point of view, he's certainly taking care of himself and his family, and there's no argument against that. He did mention in his conference, however, that he had offers from Europe and Brazil and Australia and different places, but he said that he always was going to be dedicated to this club. So I guess with all of the questions that are looming, does that pretty much spell the end of his career? Is there maybe another move in the future for Ronaldo? Because there is some talk that he may go on loan to Newcastle. That might be a part of this contract, although there's some question marks around that one.
I can't see that happening. That, to me, that's just like ridiculous. But I mean, it's the world of football, anything can happen, and it wouldn't totally surprise me if it did. But the only move out of Saudi Arabia I could kind of imagine would be MLS.
Yeah, and actually that was another side and another league that was mentioned in that, that apparently Kansas City was going to be all in for him. And I mean, all in by MLS standards is only a fraction of what has been offered to him in terms of money out in Saudi Arabia, but perhaps maybe the MLS is going to be his final destination. I think it'd probably be a wise move for him, particularly with his Instagram following and everything that he can attain in the United States. But one of the big questions as well, Gaetano, is about the quality of the league that he's playing in. And there's even more questions, I guess, as to how exactly he's going to fare in this particular sphere of football. Do you have any doubts about Ronaldo's ability moving forward, or is he still, in your mind, a top player?
I don't think he's a top player anymore. And that's just, he's kind of aged out of that, and there's nothing you can really do about that. But I do think the quality of that league is not great, and I think he will do better than fine, but he's not going to light the league on fire, but he'll do very good.
And kind of going back, I guess, to what we were talking about earlier with Roberto Martinez, in his press conference, he said that he's focused on the 26 players that were at the World Cup with Portugal. And he said Cristiano Ronaldo is one of those players. So he will certainly sit down and have a conversation with him because he is in his plans. And I almost wonder if he's just saying that for the sake of saying it, or maybe he really is a part of his plans. And maybe if Ronaldo is scoring a ton of goals in this league and he's looking super fit and playing really good, maybe it's not the end for him. But at the end of the day, it is kind of sad in a certain way that he's kind of phased himself out of European football. So as time goes on with Ronaldo, when the big things do happen, again, we'll certainly keep everybody informed here on Full Time. This is Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, and you are listening to Full Time on the Game Sports Show. A reminder that Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. You can download and access the Pizza Portal app in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Have a delicious, hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. Folks, we now move it along to Europe's Big Five, and we will start with the Premier League. Arsenal are at the top of the table with 44 points after 17 games played. Manchester City aren't too far behind with 39 points to their name. Newcastle sit in third with just one loss to their record. Manchester United are on equal points with Newcastle, but currently sit in fourth. Tottenham occupy the fifth position, while Liverpool are in sixth with 28 points. Four teams behind them are all within 3 points of the Reds. Gaetano, an incredible Premier League season so far, no matter which way you spin it. We are pretty close to the halfway mark here. What are your thoughts thus far?
I think there's been a couple big, big surprises in the Premier League so far. Obviously, Newcastle's quality, even with their new owners, I didn't expect them to be kind of in this top four fight halfway through the season, in their first full season with the new ownership. You know, Manchester City, it took a couple of years to kind of get to that point. So this is pretty incredible for them. Also, Fulham, I didn't think much of them going into this season, but sitting in seventh with 18 after 18 games played is pretty good. And I expect a very, very good title race between Arsenal and Manchester City. It should be right down to the wire.
And I was actually having a conversation the other day with one of my local and fellow coaches. And he was saying, you know, Manchester United's kind of just slowly chipping away quietly. And I think that this title race, yes, between Arsenal and Manchester City for sure is going to be amazing. But you never know, like you said, with the likes of Newcastle, maybe Manchester United, maybe there's another a twist in there, if you will. But even like you said, the likes of Fulham, there's been some really cool surprises this year in the Premier League. And obviously that's what the Premier League is all about. And only because we haven't really talked about any club football on air over the past while, seeing as our entire focus was on the World Cup, we just talked about the highlights there, the sort of bigger teams that have done really well this season so far. Who are your kind of lowlights of this season so far, Gaetano?
It's got to be West Ham and Wolves, two teams that for the last couple of years have been, you know, upper middle, mid table, even like fighting for European places. For them to be 17th and 19th respectively is really, really disappointing. I thought West Ham, especially after last season, I thought they would be, you know, a top six contender, and they've just kind of folded. And Wolves have just done nothing in the transfer market over the summer, or currently, really, there's no rumors around them right now for January. It's just super disappointing from those two clubs.
The two big ones indeed. And you wonder from a West Ham perspective what's going on there with David Moyes, because they were playing spectacular football the past two seasons or so. And with Wolves, yeah, why they haven't done any business. It's like they're very content to just simply be where they are. And we're going to talk about the relegation zone right now. And even though West Ham aren't in it, they are certainly just on the outside looking in, or looking out potentially, if you will. It's Everton, Wolves, and Southampton who are all currently in the bottom three. Again, West Ham, Nottingham Forest, Leeds, and Leicester City are all within 2 points of the drop zone. Gaetano, I know it's only about halfway through the season, give or take, but the bottom half of the table is really, really close. What do you think's going on here this season with the bottom half of the table?
You know, I'd love to say it's that there's just like 20 quality teams and three of them have to go down, but like Southampton have been shocking this season. Just kind of completely falling apart. We just mentioned like Wolves did nothing in the transfer market, happy to just kind of be mediocre. Everton have been falling apart for the last few seasons. Even spending big money in the transfer market hasn't really helped them. Their recruitment's been very poor in terms of like they're getting quality players, because not the right players for their systems. It almost feels like they're trying to build like three or four different puzzles and just jamming all the different pieces together and hoping to get something out of it. Yeah, I think this could be a really, really close relegation battle, and this could go right up to the last minutes of the season.
Yeah, a close relegation battle, it appears indeed, but perhaps with many of the teams that we didn't expect perhaps to be in that relegation battle, or at least I didn't. So it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen. And I remember actually, I believe it was, I want to say 2 years ago, we were certainly, I think, at the beginning of COVID, or perhaps in the midst of it. And Roy Keane on one of the panels, he had mentioned, he said, sometimes it's all about survival, no matter how that happens, and then you could start to build. And perhaps some of these teams are kind of having that mentality that, well, okay, maybe we won't spend money, but we're going to kind of hope for the best. We're just going to try to survive. We're going to try to scrape through. But as you know, Gaetano, it's great if it works out, but not so good if it doesn't. Shifting gears, in Italy, Serie A, it's Napoli who are clear at the top with 44 points. Juventus and Milan are in second and third, respectively, on 37 points. Inter hold the fourth position with 34 points. Napoli are still dominating and have only lost just their first game of the season at the start of the new year. What can you say about this division, sir?
I think it's starting to look a little more like we expected it to at the beginning of the year. Obviously, you know, with Napoli, Juventus, Milan, Inter all kind of in those top four spots, and then having Roma, Atalanta, and Lazio fighting for those the lower European places, it's looking a little more traditional, I would say, than it was earlier this year.
Yeah, and you'd imagine that at some point it was always going to take shape in this way. It's just a question of when it's going to happen. Do you think that maybe now, even with all the stuff going on with Juventus, do you think that they're going to really make a push and start, you know, getting on the heels of Napoli, or is Napoli going to continue to be in the form that they've been in pretty much all season?
Yeah, I think it might be a little too much for them to catch Napoli, but I do think they'll give them a good little chase and they'll stay in these Champions League place spots for now.
And that game at the start of the new year that I had mentioned that Napoli had lost was actually to Inter, who, again, are in the fourth position. So still plenty of time for things to happen, and we'll be here on a weekly or biweekly basis to keep everybody informed of how the table is continuing to look and how it's continuing to shift. In Spain's La Liga, things remain pretty tight at the top as Barcelona hold a three-point gap over trailing Real Madrid. Real Sociedad and Real Betis round out the top four. G, the battle of the two giants remains strong at the top of the table. Give us your thoughts here.
Yeah, I'm still surprised to see Barcelona top the table. I don't think their squad has enough depth or quality to hold out for this title race, and I do think Madrid is just a much more complete team. But yeah, it's been really, really tight, and I think it'll go right down to the wire between those two. I love the stories of Real Sociedad and Real Betis being kind of in the top four right now, but I just don't think they've got the quality to take their challenges any further than like third or fourth place.
And just going back to Barcelona, I think that you mentioned a really intriguing point earlier when we were in the discussion about the transfer market. Let's say hypothetically that Barcelona does a good bit of business this January. Do you think that can sort of propel them to a La Liga title, despite the fact that Real Madrid are a really talented and really good side, Gaetano?
Yeah, I think I know their financial situation is abysmal, so I don't know how they'd manage to pull it off. But if they did pull off a good move, yeah, they could definitely stay at the top of the league and win La Liga.
I think certainly without any doubt, Barcelona will be in the Champions League next season. I don't think there's any question about that, but perhaps all of their fans will be hoping for a La Liga title. But Real Madrid, again, their quality just might prevail. Over to the Bundesliga in Germany, Bayern Munich remain at the top with 34 points. SC Freiburg are only 4 points behind in second place. RB Leipzig and Frankfurt make up the remaining top four positions. Gaetano, what are you saying about the Bundesliga?
It's still pretty business as usual in the Bundesliga. Bayern Munich leading pretty comfortably. Teams like Leipzig and Dortmund still challenging the top six there. But SC Freiburg holding on to second place is still, I think, one of my favorite stories in Europe so far this year.
Certainly one that many, including myself, didn't necessarily expect. Out in France's Ligue 1, PSG remain at the top, holding a four-point gap over Lens. Marseille and Rennes make up the remaining spots in the top four. Gaetano, we normally anticipate PSG to be dominating, and they're doing well, but the gap is not huge at the top. What can be said about Ligue 1 right now as we approach the midway point in the season?
I'm liking Ligue 1 is always, it's one of my favorite leagues because other than like PSG dominating, the rest of the pack is very volatile is I think probably the best way to say it. You could get any combination of teams in the Champions League and European spots. And I'm really liking Lens. Their title challenge so far has been great. Marseille are a great story, kind of rebuilding. But it is kind of disappointing to see Lille and Lyon kind of dropping off after a couple of very good seasons challenging for league titles and actually Lille winning one.
Yeah, I find it to be interesting and quite significant in terms of the impact that, like you said, a Lille can have in Ligue 1, but then all of a sudden drop off and then PSG just kind of go back to doing what they are normally accustomed to doing. So in the world of football, it's a little bit different, let's say, to North American sports where, you know, you might have a new challenger every season, but in Ligue 1, it's almost like it's an anticipated outcome that PSG will always be at the top. But again, it's not a huge gap at the top right now, so we'll see what happens moving forward. And now to a different cup competition, the Carabao Cup. Gee, the quarterfinals have just concluded and the semifinalists are confirmed. A bit of a two-part question here, my friend. How have you been enjoying the competition? I mean, I think I know the answer in terms of today, but my second part would be, how much value do you put into this specific cup? The floor is yours, sir.
So I'm going to answer your second question first, actually, because I love the Carabao Cup. Yeah. It's always it's a good competition because I don't want to demean it here, but the Premier League teams don't always take it seriously. So you get kind of some lower league teams that are able to challenge and, you know, make decent runs, to, you know, round of 16, quarterfinals, sometimes even semifinals. So I really like that aspect of it. Obviously, today's result for City, not the best, losing 2-0 to Southampton. But also for a club like City, it's not make or break for us. It's very, you know, if you win the competition, great. If not, you know, whatever. As long as you're still challenging for the Premier League and at least the Champions League or the FA Cup, it's not make or break. So I do really, really love this competition.
I also really enjoy this competition. And the arguments of, oh, it's a small cup, it doesn't matter. I don't take those opinions on board because I don't care really what level you're coaching at, playing at, or whatever level you support. If you're enrolled and you're involved in a cup competition, it's obviously for a reason. It's because you're trying to compete, and of course you're trying to win it. So any time that you can put a trophy in your cabinet, of course you're going to want to win. So again, I don't take those opinions on board, and I'm definitely with you that I really do like this cup competition, and I like all of the cup competitions, including the FA Cup, which there were some amazing games this past weekend. The first quarterfinal was between Manchester United and Charlton. United hosted Charlton at Old Trafford, and it wasn't super easy, but nonetheless, United do come out with a 3-0 win. G, Anthony scored the first goal for United, but Marcus Rashford scored the other two. Rashford has been in just absolutely sensational form as of late, seemingly scoring goals at will in all competitions. Your thoughts on this game and Marcus Rashford in particular?
Yeah, he's been on a tear, like leading into the World Cup, had a great World Cup for England. And I'm really happy that I'm happy that it's kind of carried through. I don't know if he saw those links to PSG kind of over the summer. But he's playing like he saw those links and he wants that big money move. And yeah, United, you know, should be beating Charlton comfortably, and they did.
Yes, and I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Manchester United? They're always obviously just waiting to take over the next newspaper headline, but they've been playing good as of late. And of course, Marcus Rashford has been sort of leading the way for them. The second quarterfinal, which featured Newcastle and Leicester City, ended 2-0 in favor of Newcastle after a really strong second half display. Gaetano, Newcastle have been excellent this season, and this is well known in the world of football, and they now have put themselves into a semi-final for this competition. Your thoughts on this game and this result for Newcastle?
It was utterly dominant by Newcastle. Leicester just did not have a chance the way Newcastle were playing. I don't know what has gone on in that Newcastle room for the last like about a year now since the takeover, but they are completely transformed, like on the pitch, not just the money coming in, but like the players. They've had, you know, I don't want to be a little crude, but they've had a fire lit under their ass. Like they are incredible right now. And I can definitely see them making a run at the final here.
I agree with that for sure. What's happened at Newcastle, I anticipated what happened, but certainly not this quickly. And the one person I also point to is Eddie Howe. I think that he's done a phenomenal job there in terms of the way that he's got them set up, the way he has them playing, the way he's able to implement his tactics. I think he's done a phenomenal job as the manager of Newcastle. And there was a statistic that I saw, I believe it was this morning, actually, and I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I think that this is their first time making the semifinals rather of this competition or one like it in like 75 years or something ridiculous like that.
I saw the same similar one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's madness. But Newcastle, as we've been saying, are certainly on the map now, and everybody has and is taking note of them. Nottingham Forest saw Wolves in quarterfinal action after the match finished 1-1. It was penalties that would decide this one, something that we're accustomed to seeing over the past several weeks, I might say, which I'm not mad about. And it was Nottingham Forest who won 4-3 on penalties and advanced to the semi-final. Forest were largely outplayed in this match, but their early lead held up in large part to get them to penalty kicks. And they prevailed in penalty kicks. Your thoughts, my friend?
Yeah, it was a pretty even match. Forest are a little bit of a weird squad right now, signing 22 players over the summer, and they're still looking to do some more business this window. So for them to be, you know, in a semifinal for this competition is a testament to the players that they brought in, kind of doing their job. And yeah, I thought it was a pretty fair result.
Yeah, and maybe a light at the end of the tunnel, because obviously Nottingham Forest are in the relegation battle in the Premier League. But if they can perhaps win this competition, which again, if you put yourself in a semi-final, anything could happen. I think that that would be certainly a good thing for them. And finally, it was Southampton against your Manchester United, Gaetano. And it was two first half goals by Southampton that see them through to the semi-final of this competition in a rather unlikely win. Gaetano, the big one for me here, apart from the result, is that Manchester City didn't register a single shot on target in this game, the game that I did not quite expect in terms of the outcome. I really want your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. Having the Chelsea game on the weekend, like last weekend, and United coming up this Saturday, I always expected Pep to rotate the lineup a little bit, give some kind of bench options some minutes. So it was a weird looking 11, having actually three fullbacks in the back four, Calvin Phillips making his first start for Man City, and a couple of young players like Cole Palmer and Julian Alvarez in the lineup. It was, you know, I hate to blame Pep because I love Pep. He's a genius. He's one of the greatest managers of all time. But I think this specific result, it's got to be on him. You switched up a little too much, tried to be a little too out there. And Southampton are a solid outfit. They're maybe not, they don't have the most quality, but they're always very solid, very compact, can move the ball very well. And yeah, it felt like Manchester City were just off a pace for this one. And the two early goals just kind of resigned us to that defeat.
Yeah, and you know what, you brought up so many intelligent and so many good points there, Gaetano. I'm gonna mention two things. First on Pep, I could just watch that guy in press conferences all day long, and it just seems like I do. It's like every time that I turn on my phone and I'm checking my apps and whatnot, it's incredible, because I'm watching him in these 3-minute clips and these 4-minute clips, and he's talking and he's saying, oh well, you know, I have a ridiculous idea here, but it doesn't matter because this is what might happen, or this is what could happen. And then he's getting questions about the FA Cup, the Carabao Cup, the Premier League, the Champions League, what's going to happen with his future at Manchester City. So he seems to always be bombarded by questions. And at the end of the day, as genius as he is, and as much as I love him, I know obviously he's your manager for your club, but I do love him to bits. And I take a lot of my coaching, and I do emulate some of it after Pep. I think that obviously we have to understand he is human and he is capable of error. And the second thing that I wanted to mention too, as I was talking about Nottingham Forest having that sort of light at the end of the tunnel, Southampton certainly are going to do everything that they can to stay in the Premier League. But again, if they can win this competition, I mean, for them to put a trophy in their cabinet and possibly to stay in the Premier League, that would just be a massive accomplishment for them this season, I would totally imagine. And I'm sure that their fans would share the same sentiments there. Yeah. The semifinal of this competition will be played on January 24th, and January 31st. These semifinals for this competition are played over two legs, so it will be Southampton versus Newcastle in the first semifinal and Nottingham Forest against Manchester United in the other semifinal. Gaetano, we will have another show whilst these semifinals are in progress, but do you have any gut feelings right now as to who might advance to the final of this competition?
Gut feeling says Newcastle will play Manchester United, but I would happily be wrong if it means that United go out of the competition.
Yeah, I could understand that for sure. And I reserve the right to possibly change my opinion, but I'm also going to go Newcastle and Manchester United right now. I just feel like Newcastle are on such a high despite bowing out, I think, in the FA Cup they did this past weekend. And I think that Manchester United are playing some really good football and they'll probably find their way into the final of this competition as well. But we will talk about it in a couple of weeks and we'll see if maybe our minds have changed in the lead up to those games. And finally, to wrap up today's show, we will give you all a local soccer update. With the new year in full swing, soccer has returned now that the holiday break has concluded. Youth leagues through Northern Heights Soccer Club have resumed. As well, men's and women's soccer in the Sioux has also started back up once again. For any youth players looking for technical and tactical training, please register at www.nhsc.ca. That's www.nhsc.ca. G, back at it for the second half of this indoor season. You ready to take the field?
Absolutely. I'm over the Christmas break, you know, a couple Christmas dinners. I got to run that weight off. And yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back out there.
I'm with you on that for sure. I've, you know, enjoyed my holiday for sure. I tried to stay certainly as active as I possibly could. Got to play on Monday night and, you know, definitely feeling fit still and definitely feeling good, but I found that the level of soreness was a little bit more prevalent. So need a few more soccer games in the legs because it really doesn't matter how much you train or things like this. There's quite nothing like playing an actual game. So the body will have to get acclimated once again. This is Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, and you are listening to Full Time on the Game Sports Show. A reminder that Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. You can download and access the Pizza Portal app in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Have a delicious, hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Full Time. As we conclude today's show, we want to thank you for being with us and spending some time to talk and listen about the beautiful game. Gaetano, as always, thank you very much for everything this evening, brother.
Scarp, it's always a pleasure coming on the show with you.
A reminder to our listeners that the next episode of Full Time will be recorded the week of January 23rd, 2023. For weekly content, make sure to hit like, follow, and subscribe to all platforms of both the Game Sports Show and the Game Entertainment and Media on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now back on Podbean. Be sure to check out our website at www.thegamesportshow.com. That's www.thegamesportshow.com. For Gaetano Gallo, my name is Daniel Scarpino. And thank you for tuning in to Full Time. We look forward to seeing you at kickoff next week, back here on the Game Sports Show and the Game Entertainment and Media. Best always.